Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, portion of scripture we've read from this morning. And let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Lord, give prevailing words in this meeting, in the preaching this morning, for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to speak from this portion of God's word this morning that we have read together earlier in the service. Acts 20, verses 17 to 27. The subject is your testimony. Your testimony. First of all, have you a testimony? And this is the challenge to your heart and to mine this morning. Personally, have I a testimony? A testimony to the saving grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Able to tell clearly of that time when we came to Christ and experienced his saving grace in our lives. And how vitally important, my friends, is this? The word of God says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The evidence of true conversion is confession with the mouth. Paul was one who had a testimony to give. He was not ashamed to declare what the Lord had done for him. In the Bible portion before us today in Acts chapter 20, here we have Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus. He talks in verse 19 about serving Christ, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. He talks in verse 20 about showing Christ. He said, have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. He talked in verse 21 about speaking of Christ, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In doing so, he sought to testify of the gospel of the grace of God, verse 24. He was preaching, verse 25, the kingdom of God. And he could say in verse 26 that he was pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 27. Our business as believers in this 21st century, in this year of 2017, is to do the same. To get the word out to a dying world. To tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. The Great Commission hasn't changed. To go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And so I want to speak to you today on the theme of your testimony. And I pray that God would write his word upon your hearts. There are five things that I want to draw to your attention this morning. First of all, the basis of your testimony. You see, your testimony has to have a foundation. If it hasn't got a good foundation, then it will not stand. It will crumble. And the foundation or the basis of our testimony must be Christ. That was the case with Paul. Twice over in the Acts of the Apostles, he related his testimony. He gave a reason of the hope that was in him. Acts 22 and Acts 26, you will read how Paul related on those two occasions his testimony. You see, Christ met with Paul, or Saul as he was then, on the Damascus Road in Acts 9. And what an encounter that was. It was a life-changing moment in the life of Saul of Tarsus. Jesus of Nazareth met him. He relates in Acts 22 and 8, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. That's how the Lord revealed himself to Saul. The Lord met him. And the Lord saved him there on the Damascus Road. And Christ became the center of his life. In fact, we could say that Christ became everything in his life. So much so that he wrote to the Philippians later and he said, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And again, writing to the Galatians, in chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Listen, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ was the center of Paul's experience. Is he the center of your experience this morning? In Acts 22, 3-5, he spoke of his early conduct. He spoke of his Jewish credentials. He spoke of his cruelty to Christians. But then, in verses 6-16 of that portion, he spoke of his wonderful conversion. And in this testimony which Paul related, he spoke of his meeting with Christ. And he spoke of the miracle by Christ. In other words, the miracle of God's salvation in his experience. And in his testimony, Paul affirmed that Jesus of Nazareth was alive. He saw his glory. He heard his voice. You see, Christ was real in the life of Saul of Tarsus or Paul the Apostle. He knew the reality of God's salvation. Let me ask you this morning in this service, is Christ real in your life today? Is Christ the center of your life? Is Christ crucial in your life? If you have a true testimony, I put it to you and suggest to you today that Christ will be at the center of it. Christ will be all of it. There will be nothing of man. It will be all of him, for salvation is of the Lord. When we go to Acts 26, where he's testifying before King Agrippa, verses 4-11, he said, I lived a Pharisee. That's how he was before his conversion. And then in verse 13, I saw a light. And then he goes on to say, I heard a voice. And of course, Christ was that light. The voice was the voice of God. What a clear-cut testimony it was. There was no beating about the bush. There were no ifs or perhapses or maybes. It was with absolute certainty and with confidence and assurance he gave his testimony. It was exalting and extolling the Lord from start to finish. You see, Christ was the basis of it. Is it so with us this morning? Is it so with you? Are you speaking and testifying of Christ? Because Christ is the center of your life. If you're not saved, Christ isn't the center of your life this morning. Other things, the world, the flesh, the devil, the center of your life. Oh, that Christ would be the center of your life this morning. The basis of our testimony. I want you to think, secondly, about the building of your testimony. You see, Paul built his testimony over many years. It continued through many temptations and trials and troubles and tears. But he also knew glorious triumphs. He grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, he continued to follow Christ. You see, men and women this morning, discipleship is an essential element of building our testimony. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us today, as he said to those of old, follow me, follow me. Notice what he says to Agrippa in Acts 26:19. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. When he asked, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do in Acts 9 and 6 there in the Damascus Road, he meant it sincerely. And when the Lord told him what to do, he obeyed the orders immediately. He began right there at Damascus. And as you can see from Acts 9, 20-25, it almost cost him his life. Likewise, when he testified to the Jews at Jerusalem, they attempted to kill him in Acts 9, 29-30. But in spite of all these repeated discouragements and dangers, Paul had remained obedient to the call and to the vision that Jesus Christ gave to him. Nothing moved him. We see this here in Acts 20, verse 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Are you building your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul is a wonderful example of doing this. You see,
There was not only the commencement of his testimony, but there was the continuation of his testimony. And there was also the consolidation of his testimony. You see, building involves consolidation. Acts 26, verses 22 to 32, we read of this. See verse 22 of that portion. He said there, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And you know, this continuing, this going on, this consolidation was something that was clearly in evidence in the early church. You go to Acts 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And Paul was continuing in his witnessing for Christ. In many ways, the word witnessing best summarizes the life and ministry of Paul, the apostle. He simply shared with others what he had learned, what he had experienced as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. His message was not something he manufactured, for it was based solidly in the Old Testament scriptures. We must remind ourselves here that Paul and the other apostles didn't have the New Testament, but they used the Old Testament scriptures to lead sinners to Christ and to nurture believers in the faith. How vital it is to build a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and the scriptures of truth and the word of God. Build a testimony for Christ in the family, in the community, maybe in the school or university where you are, or in the workplace or wherever God has placed you. And let this church also here in ours, as a body, and all our churches, build a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord has placed us. Are you building your testimony this morning? The basis of a testimony? The building of your testimony? I want you to think thirdly about the bearing of your testimony. Bearing testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Bearing testimony unto Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about him. Paul desired this in Ephesians 6:19. He said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You see, he wanted to bear testimony to a lost world of Christ. In doing this, he said there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our glorying must be in Christ. It's not about us, it's about him. And the burden of Paul's heart was for lost souls. And this is why he sought to bear testimony. In Acts 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice the emphasis there, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted to see these souls saved. Therefore, he testified in these terms to them that they might experience God's salvation. See the great burden of Paul's heart in Romans chapter 9 and the first verses. And also chapter 10, the first verse. In chapter 9 there of Romans, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Listen, here's his burden, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, the great burden of his heart. And then chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Burden of his heart. Does such a burden prevail in our hearts this morning? A burden to see men and women, boys and girls, saved, to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in into the streets and lanes of the cities and the towns, that men and women might be saved. That's what God demands of us, Luke 14. Are you and I bearing testimony where we are Is this church bearing testimony where God has placed it? Are we by lip and life testifying of Christ? Are we signposts pointing men and women to Christ? Think of the testimony borne by Peter and John. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Christ. And this is the thing, friends. They saw Jesus. Does the world see Jesus in you? Do your family see Christ in you? How important this is. A testimony that was born faithfully and fervently, and it impacted upon those that beheld it. May it be so with us this morning, individually, and with the church as a body. The fourth thing is this, the blessing of our testimony. We need a testimony that is blessed of God. We need a testimony that has upon it the smile of divine approval. Oh, may it be so with us this morning. If we have not the Lord's approval, then it is all in vain. All our testifying, all our speaking, all our living will be in vain. When Ananias went to Saul, among other things, he said to him in Acts 22:15, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." This is an indication of the blessing of the Lord upon this man just converted to Christ. The Lord would make him to be that witness. The Lord does the making. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We need this blessing upon our witness. You can see that with Peter. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. And what a witness he became in his service for Christ. Because of a testimony that was blessed of God. It was so with the church also as a body. Their witness was blessed. God favored the church which he had purchased with his own blood. And therefore the message of the gospel went out far and near into the world. Other churches were formed. Souls were saved. Believers were edified. There was growth. And glory was brought to the Lord's name. And it was a blessing to others. How blessed the church at Ephesus was through Paul's testifying. We read that here in Acts 20. People heard God's word through the lips of his servant to receive. You think of the jailer through Paul and Silas's testimony in Acts 16. The conversion of that man and his household. You think of Lydia in that very same chapter of Acts 16. Her heart was opened. You think of Cornelius and the house of Cornelius and the Gentiles who through Peter's witness in Acts 10 were reached. I, along with others, went to Sunday school as a boy. It was a great privilege. I didn't think it at the time, mind you. I was like every other boy, 9 or 10 year old, hard to manage. But the testifying of a faithful Sunday school teacher, Mavenhill Presbyterian Church Sabbath School, I was blessed by that man. Now, I was a torturer along with those other boys in that class. We tortured that man. But I can still visualize that dear man who's now with the Lord, the tears coursing down his cheeks as he pleaded with a class of brats. That's what we were. He pleaded with us to come to Christ. We were more interested in making fun and making the man's life a misery. But he was faithful and fervent in his testimony. And other lads in that class, along with myself, later found Christ. In fact, today is my birthday. Now, I'm not going to tell you what age I am, because I have two birthdays. You see, I have two birthdays. This is my spiritual birthday today. And I'll tell you when it happened. 15th of January, 1969. On the Ravenhill Road. I still pass that house frequently where we lived at that time. 153 Ravenhill Road. I look up to that room upstairs where I got saved. Now, you're waiting for it, aren't you? What age was I then? I'll keep you in suspense. Some of you have a good idea, but I'm not retiring age yet. But God blessed the testimony of that man. He was faithful. He was faithful. And God used his testimony to speak to me. His words to speak to me. And other boys, in fact, I met a fellow just a number of weeks ago in the hospital, in the intensive care unit. Sadly, his daughter had an accident and she was very ill, but she's coming on now, thankfully. But at that time, she was very ill, and
I turned round and I saw him. I hadn't saw him for years. I said, Bob, and I spoke to him and had some time together and prayed with him and so forth about his daughter. And he said, do you remember that Sunday school class? He still remembered it vividly. He's saved now, going on with God for years as well. See, God blesses faithful testimonies born for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to think finally this morning about the blighting of your testimony. The blighting of your testimony. You see, your testimony can be blighted by sin in your own life, by yielding to temptation, by going the way of the flesh and compromising with the world. I was struck by the words that Paul wrote to Timothy. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And how easily this can happen in the life of a believer. Some time ago, I met a man. In conversation with him, he told me the sad story of how he became involved in the business world, making money. And his testimony became blighted. He lost out with God. He bowed his head in my presence and he said sadly, business took over his life. Nothing wrong with business in its rightful place. But business took over his life and blighted his spiritual testimony. And you know, you can blight your testimony by carelessness in relation to prayer, carelessness in relation to your Bible reading, carelessness in relation to your Christian living, carelessness in relation to your church attendance, the means of grace, carelessness in relation to the Lord's table and observance of it. These things. You can blight your testimony. But your testimony can be blighted by a false accusation. You can be falsely accused. It has happened to people. It has grieved their hearts. It has caused them great trouble because they have been falsely accused. My friend, you think of Potiphar's wife, how she falsely accused Joseph. Joseph was not to blame. He was falsely accused. But he suffered through it. He did suffer through it. Imprisoned, so forth. Cast out. But though he suffered through it, yet he was blessed in a wonderful way in the end because they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So Joseph said himself later on. Of course, we must guard our testimony and ask the Lord to keep us from sin and from the world, that his name will be honored and glorified in our lives, that we might remain true to Christ. May we continue, men and women, to be a burning and a shining light in this dark world of sin, that our families and our friends and our neighbours would be brought to Christ. Remember a dear man who preached in the Martyrs years ago, Easter Convention. There was a man saved in that meeting, one of those meetings. He said afterwards, it wasn't what he said, it was how he looked. Such a testimony. God spoke to that man through the look of the preacher. And you know, McShane said, it's not great men that God uses, but men who have likeness to Christ. May God make us like Christ, to have a testimony that's glorifying to his name. You're not saved this morning. You have no testimony. Thank God you can get a testimony. You can start today. You can come to Christ this morning. You can be saved in this very service. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor, that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.